Live from the Bloomberg Interactive Brokers Studios, this is Bloomberg Daybreak for Wednesday, February 24th, 2021. Coming up this hour,
U.S. equities hit reset after a wild day on Wall Street.
Stocks in Hong Kong fall the most in 9 months on plans to raise trading taxes.
Regulators order high-tech inspections of Boeing engines.
And more encouraging news on the pandemic as COVID deaths tick lower.
Hundreds of protesters walked the streets of Rochester last night, and more mass vaccination sites are opening in New York today. I'm Amy Morris. More ahead.
I'm John Stashower in sports. The latest on Tiger Woods' injuries from his car crash. The Nets won. The Knicks, Devils, and St. John's lost.
That's all straight ahead on Bloomberg Daybreak. On Bloomberg 1130 New York, Bloomberg 99.1 Washington, D.C., Bloomberg 1061 Boston, Bloomberg 960 San Francisco, Sirius XM 119, and around the world on BloombergRadio.com and via the Bloomberg Business App.
Good morning, I'm Karen Moscow.
And I'm Nathan Hager. Bloomberg Daybreak brought to you by SEI. Crises and challenges highlight the power of partnership and character. Work for the common good. One community, SEI. Go to seic.com/banks.
And U.S. futures are higher this morning. 5:01 on Wall Street, and we check the markets every 15 minutes throughout the trading day on Bloomberg. S&P futures up about 8 points. Dow futures up 39. NASDAQ futures up 34. The DAX in Germany is up 0.7%. 10-year Treasury down 6/32, yield 1.36%, and the yield on the 2-year, 0.11%. NYMEX crude oil is up 0.6% at $62.03 a barrel. Nathan.
Karen, we are coming off a wild day for markets that saw the S&P 500 swing about 90 points. Inflation concerns are being weighed against strong support from the Federal Reserve. Bloomberg's John Tucker joins us live with the latest. Good morning, John.
Yeah, Nathan, the volatile session started with optimism for an economic recovery. That triggered expectations for higher inflation, sending bond yields higher and equities lower. The S&P 500 plunged at the open, only to rebound as Fed Chair Jay Powell signaled he's nowhere close to pulling back on stimulus.
There's a long way to go, and monetary policy is accommodative, and it needs to continue to be accommodative.
The chairman also gave no indication the Fed is considering a change to policy.
Expect us to move carefully and patiently and with a lot of advanced warning.
He also played down concerns of an inflationary outbreak from a big stimulus package or any pent-up demand. After falling as much as 1.8%, the S&P 500 finished the day up 5 points. The NASDAQ was down almost 4% at one point. It finished the session just 0.5% lower. Powell testifies again today at 10 a.m. Wall Street time. John Tucker, Bloomberg Daybreak.
All right, John, thank you. Yesterday's testimony from Powell came before the Senate Banking Committee. We caught up with the chair of that committee, Sherrod Brown, right after the hearing. He says Powell made a strong case for a big stimulus package.
It's clear, though, that he thinks we need to go big, as President Biden does, as his predecessor, or one of his, well, his immediate predecessor, Janet Yellen, who's now the Treasury Secretary, said if we don't go big, if we fall short on this Recovery Act, this Repair Act, if we fall short, there will be a scarring, she said, a long-term generational scarring of the economy.
Sherrod Brown spoke with David Westin on Bloomberg's Balance of Power. You can catch the show weekdays at noon Eastern time on Bloomberg Radio and Television.
As tech stocks plunged yesterday, Buy the Dip started trending on Twitter. And Kathy Wood is one of the investors who did just that. The head of ARK Investment Management tells us she bought Tesla shares and Bitcoin.
We're very positive on Bitcoin. Very happy to see a healthy correction here. No market is straight up. Everyone should know that. Everyone should have some dry powder for days like these. And I've been saying that for a while.
And checking Bitcoin right now, it's at $50,940.
Meantime, in Asia, there was a heavy sell-off overnight. Stocks in Hong Kong tumbled after the city announced plans to hike the tax rate on stock trading. And Bloomberg's Juliet Sally joins us live from Singapore with the details. Good morning, Juliet.
Good morning, Karen. The planned increase was part of a raft of new measures unveiled in Hong Kong's budget and saw shares in Hong Kong exchanges plunge the most since the stock bubble burst back in 2015. Chinese investors sold a record $2.6 billion worth of Hong Kong stocks, poised for a record. the Hang Seng Index posting its biggest one-day decline since May, China's CSI 300 down 2.5%. In Tokyo, the Nikkei down more than 1.5% after resuming trade following Tuesday's holiday. In Singapore, Juliet Sali, Bloomberg Daybreak.
All right, Juliet, thank you. Now to some positive news on the pandemic. The decline in COVID deaths is exceeding forecasts. The University of Massachusetts Reich Lab sharply cut projections for the next 3 weeks thanks to more mask wearing and immunity from past infections. The CDC estimates a quarter of the U.S. population has had the virus as of mid-January. The vaccination rollout is also picking up. Dr. Cameron Webb is a senior advisor on the White House COVID-19 response team.
We're seeing a ramp up in doses every single week since we came into the White House 34 days ago. We're up by over 57%.
More than 13% of the population has now received at least one shot. You can follow the progress with our Bloomberg vaccine tracker online at Bloomberg.com.
Meantime, in Europe, AstraZeneca is said to have told the EU it will deliver less than half of the vaccine it committed to supply in the second quarter. Bloomberg sources confirm a report that Astra now plans to provide less than 90 million doses, down from an expected 180 million.
Back here in the U.S., Boeing is coming under increased scrutiny. Regulators are ordering high-tech inspections of the engines used on Boeing 777s. We get more from Bloomberg's Ed Baxter.
These are stringent new inspection requirements to ensure the Pratt & Whitney engines are safe. This after one broke apart over a Denver suburb on Saturday. The FAA says those jets need to be put out of service until they get these new inspections. It appears there are 69 of these in service around the globe, now grounded. In San Francisco, I'm Ed Baxter, Bloomberg Daybreak.
All right, and thank you. Let's get you caught up on some earnings from after the bell. Shares of Square are down 4% this morning. The financial payments company reporting revenue that missed estimates. It also increased its commitment to Bitcoin by purchasing $170 million of the cryptocurrency.
Shares of Toll Brothers rose 1% in late trading. The company reported better than expected growth as wealthy homebuyers upgraded to bigger properties in the suburbs. Purchase contracts jumped 59% from a year earlier.
GameStop says Chief Financial Officer Jim Bell is resigning next month after less than 2 years on the job. He won't be leaving empty-handed. The executive will get almost $16 million when he departs, and he could earn millions more in coming years if a turnaround to the video game retailer is successful.
Another story we're following this morning, the latest on the health of Tiger Woods. We're told the golf star is awake and recovering after suffering severe injuries from a car crash yesterday. Stay tuned for more on that coming up shortly in sports. Plus, we have a check of local headlines just ahead. This is Bloomberg. It's 5:07 now on Wall Street, and Amy Morris is standing by to bring us those local headlines from New York and around the world. Good morning, Amy.
Good morning, Nathan. Hundreds of protesters walked the streets of Rochester last night after a grand jury did not hand down an indictment against police officers in the death of Daniel Prude. Daniel's brother, Joe, is heartbroken over the grand jury verdict, according to his attorney, Don Thompson.
I think he's kind of speechless at the moment. I have talked to him, obviously. It's a disappointing, devastating result, and he's just going to need time to digest it.
The mentally distraught Prude died last March, several days after police officers put a hood over his head and pressed his body onto the pavement until he stopped breathing. New Jersey Governor Phil Murphy has unveiled the state's budget with a focus on schools and small business relief. Murphy says the spending plan includes the highest level of school funding ever and $200 million for struggling businesses.
It is the time for us to also lean into the economic policies that will not just get us through the remaining months of the pandemic, but which will supercharge our reemergence from it.
The budget also includes the largest infrastructure investment in state history. New Jersey's attorney general has ordered an immediate end to marijuana arrests and pending prosecutions. While the majority of residents voted to legalize marijuana in New Jersey, some voters are worried the state has such tight control over who can and cannot sell marijuana.
When politicians get involved, they bungle everything. It should be a free and open market, and anybody who wants to open and establish a business should be able to do it.
Weed still cannot be sold legally. The state still has to set up distribution, licensing, taxation, and other rules. That'll take about a year. 6 out of 10 New Yorkers say they believe Governor Andrew Cuomo did something wrong in his handling of COVID-19 in the state's nursing homes. The poll by Marist College Institute for Public Opinion found Cuomo's job approval rating had slipped below 50%. New York is opening two more COVID vaccination sites in New York City starting today. The sites at Medgar Evers College in Brooklyn and York College in Queens will be able to vaccinate up to 3,000 people a day. global news 24 hours a day on air and on Bloomberg Quick Take, powered by more than 2,700 journalists and analysts in more than 120 countries. I'm Amy Morris. This is Bloomberg. Nathan.
All right, Amy, thank you. It is now 5:09 on Wall Street. Time for the Bloomberg Sports Update. Good morning, John Stanshire.
Good morning, Nathan. The word last night on Tiger Woods was that he is awake, responsive, and recovering. It figures to be a lengthy recovery. Compound fracture in one leg, a shattered ankle in the other. The one car accident occurred yesterday morning just south of Los Angeles. His SUV ended up several hundred feet from the road. Deputy Carlos Gonzalez first on the scene.
I asked him what his name was. He told me his name was Tiger, and at that moment I immediately recognized him. I asked him if he knew where he was, what time of day, just to make sure he was oriented. He seemed as though he was lucid and calm.
Woods was in L.A. for the Genesis tournament that he hosts, didn't play due to his recent back surgery. He was said to be on his way to an early morning photo shoot. Police say crashes on that road are not uncommon, that there was no evidence of alcohol use. They said Woods was wearing a seatbelt and that likely saved his life. Fans were back. First time in nearly a year at the Garden. About 2,000 on hand to see Steph Curry drain 7 3-pointers, scored 37 points. Golden State beat the Knicks 114-106. So the Warriors are 17-15, and the Knicks are 15-17. Julius Randle led them with 25. He was named an All-Star. First time in his career. Nets have three All-Stars for the first time ever. Kevin Durant, Kyrie Irving, James Harden. They also had about 300 fans at Barclays to see Brooklyn stretch to 23-7. 127-118 over Sacramento. Harden again filled up the stat sheet. 29 points, 14 assists, 11 rebounds. Nets also got 29 from Bruce Brown. Devils' third straight loss. Shut out until the final minute. They lost to Buffalo 4-1. St. John's was trying to upset Villanova for the second time. This one was all Nova, 81-58. John Stashow, Bloomberg Sports. Nathan.
And John, after losing a deal to buy the Mets, Alex Rodriguez has another game he wants to win. The former Yankees joined the lengthy roster of big names who've signed on to Special Purpose Acquisition Companies, or SPACs. A-Rod's Slam Corp began trading yesterday, adding him to the surge in blank check deals that spurred some investors to point to the asset class as the latest example of market froth. S&P futures higher by 7 points. Dow futures up 26. NASDAQ futures on the rise by 38 points. 10-year Treasury yield 1.36%. This is Bloomberg. Bloomberg Daybreak brought to you by Land Rover. Introducing the 2020 Land Rover Defender, Motor Trend's 2021 SUV of the year. Put the Defender's capabilities to the test at your local Land Rover retailer. Land Rover, above and beyond.
Markets, headlines, and breaking news 24 hours a day at Bloomberg.com, the Bloomberg Business App, and at Bloomberg Quick Take. This is a Bloomberg Business Flash.
And good morning. I'm Karen Moscow. U.S. stock index futures and treasuries are rising. Well, treasuries are lower. U.S. futures are higher as investors weigh the outlook for economic growth. Hong Kong stocks fell the most in 9 months on plans to raise trading taxes. We check the markets every 15 minutes throughout the trading day on Bloomberg. S&P futures are up 8 points. Dow futures up 40. NASDAQ futures up 38. The DAX in Germany is up 0.9%. 10-year Treasury down 7/32. The yield is at 1.36%. The yield on the 2-year, 0.11%. NYMEX crude oil is up 0.75%, up 47 cents at $62.13 a barrel. COMEX gold down 0.1% on $1.90 at $18.04.10 an ounce. The euro, 1.2157 against the dollar. British pound, 1.4146. And the yen, 105.78. And watching Bitcoin at $50,505. Today we are watching for a report on new home sales at 10 o'clock Wall Street time. And home improvement retailer Lowe's is among companies scheduled to report earnings today. That's a Bloomberg Business Flash. Now here's Amy Morris with more on what's going on around the world. Amy, good morning.
Good morning, Karen. Now some other news for you. President Biden inviting lawmakers to the White House today, discussing a global shortage of semiconductors idling some U.S. auto production. He'll also sign an executive order aimed at strengthening the supply chains for microchips. Lawmakers are going to vote on President Biden's $1.9 trillion COVID relief bill. That's expected this Friday. Federal judge has ruled California can enforce its net neutrality law, preventing internet providers from reducing access to websites that don't pay for premium service. And before fans, for the first time this year, the Knicks fall to Golden State. The Nets beat Sacramento. Wizards and Celtics lose, and on the ice, the Devils and Caps lose. Global news 24 hours a day on air and on Bloomberg Quick Take, powered by more than 2,700 journalists and analysts in more than 120 countries. I'm Amy Morris. This is Bloomberg. Nathan.
All right, Amy, thank you. It's 519 on Wall Street, live from the Bloomberg Interactive Brokers Studios. This is Bloomberg Daybreak. Let's get set for the market day ahead. We're joined this morning by Michael Hewson, Chief Market Analyst at CMC Markets. Great to have you back with us this morning, Michael. We certainly saw a lot of movement in equity markets yesterday on Chairman Powell's comments before the Senate Banking Committee, giving no indication that he's ready to remove monetary stimulus anytime soon. Is the market starting to bake in what the Fed's doing here?
Yeah, well, what is it, what is the Fed doing? I mean, if the market was looking to bake in what the Fed is doing, 10-year yields wouldn't be currently where they are and continuing to go higher. I still think there is a significant amount of concern that what the Biden administration is about to embark upon will probably prompt a big spike in inflation. And at the moment, the bond markets, the long-term yields are reflecting that, and certainly U.S. mortgage rates are reflecting that. And yet the short end isn't, simply because the Fed's sitting on it. So I think policymakers are underestimating the potential for a significant rebound in price pressures. We're already seeing it in the prices paid components of the ISMs. The manufacturing is at a 10-year high. Services is at a 5-year high. And I think if that is sustained, and, you know, central bankers are very fond of saying that inflationary pressures are transitory. They're not if you're having to fill up your gas tank and having to pay more at the fuel pump. And I think that is a big concern at the moment. So I think bond markets are pricing risk correctly. I'm not sure equity markets are.
What do you see the equity markets doing at this point? It looks like wait-and-see mode, at least at the moment, in terms of futures contracts. What's the trajectory, do you think?
I don't think we're at a tipping point quite yet. I think U.S. 10-year yields and 30-year yields will probably have to go a little bit higher, and certainly I think the pace of the rise is probably more of a concern than the actual rise itself. I think if U.S. 10-year yields go back above around about 1.5, 1.6%, that could well cause a little bit more nervousness over and above what we've already been seeing. I don't think we're going to get there yet. I think the big test will be whether or not there are any breakages or any fracturing in some of the policy announcements from U.S. policymakers. Bostic, Raphael Bostic, at the beginning of this year suggested that we might see a taper at the end of the year. That was really squashed down quite firmly by the likes of Jerome Powell, Richard Clarida, and Lael Brainard. But they won't be able to do that forever if price pressures continue to increase. And I think with commodity prices continuing to rise, it'll be much harder to ignore, particularly when the economies start to reopen.
Do you think we could see Chairman Powell start to move the benchmarks in terms of the amount of inflation that he's willing to tolerate before making a move either on bond purchasing or rates?
I think he's already started to shift ever so slightly in his comments yesterday when he said he was quite happy for inflation to be above 2% for a considerable period. So you might start to see that timeline stretched a little bit. But ultimately, I think the big concern that I have is when it starts to cost more for consumers to buy everyday goods and services. We're already seeing evidence of supply shortages. You mentioned in your summing up there that President Biden signing an executive order for a chip shortage. Well, generally, shortages drive prices up. And if prices start to rise faster than wages, then you have a potential problem. And I think that's the biggest concern at the moment. You've got all this stimulus about to come washing down the pipe. You've got an economic reopening happening at the same time as a vaccination program. You could start to see a tsunami of money start to come onto the market, which could drive prices higher. Now, we're not there yet. But I think there is a concern that maybe towards Q3 of this year, inflation expectations might edge back up again. Five years have pulled back down since the beginning of February. But overall, They're still in a very long uptrend.
Chairman Powell goes back before lawmakers just about 4.5 hours here, 10 a.m. Wall Street time, day two of testimony, this time before the House Financial Services Committee. We'll see what kind of movement that sparks in markets later today. For now, Michael Hewson, Chief Market Analyst at CMC Markets. Great, as always, to get your insights. Thanks again for being with us this morning. Wait-and-see mode certainly seems to be the case for futures contracts. S&P futures up 2 points, Dow futures up 10, NASDAQ futures up 4. 10-year Treasury down 6/32, the yield 1.36%. You're listening to Bloomberg Daybreak. And Daybreak is brought to you by Land Rover. Introducing the 2020 Land Rover Defender, Motor Trend's 2021 SUV of the year. Put the Defender's capabilities to the test at your local Land Rover retailer. Land Rover, above and beyond.
Broadcasting live from the Bloomberg Interactive Brokers Studio in New York. Bloomberg 1130 to Washington, D.C. Bloomberg 991 to Boston. Bloomberg 1061 to San Francisco. Bloomberg 960 to the country. Sirius XM Channel 119 and around the globe. The Bloomberg Business App and BloombergRadio.com. This is Bloomberg Daybreak.
It's 5:30 on Wall Street. Good morning. I'm Nathan Hager.
And I'm Karen Moscow. We're just about 4 hours away from the opening of U.S. trading. Let's get you up to date on the news you need to know at this hour. U.S. futures are higher this morning as we await day two of Jay Powell's congressional testimony. We're coming off a wild day of trading that saw the S&P 500 swing about 90 points as inflation concerns are weighed against support from the Fed. Bloomberg's John Tucker joins us live with the details. John.
Karen, at one point in Tuesday's session, the S&P 500 fell 1.8%. The NASDAQ plunged almost 4% as rising bond yields stoked inflation concerns. The volatile session saw stocks roar back from those losses following reassuring comments from Fed Chair Jay Powell. He called the recent run-up in yields, quote, a statement of confidence in the economy. Powell said the central bank is nowhere close to pulling back on stimulus measures. The S&P 500 ended the session up 5 points. John Tucker, Bloomberg Daybreak.
All right, John, thank you. Powell appeared before the Senate Banking Committee yesterday. We caught up with the chair of that committee, Sherrod Brown, right after the hearing.
We're not at the place yet where this economy is going to take off. We've been losing jobs in the last couple of months. The GDP might be going up because that's, again, the wealthiest are doing better and better and better. But most people in this country still need help, and we've got to move to do that. I think Chair Powell's testimony today really underscored that.
Sherrod Brown spoke yesterday with David Westin on Bloomberg's Balance of Power. You can catch the show weekdays at noon Eastern time on Bloomberg Radio and television.
Meantime, in Asia, there was a heavy sell-off overnight. Stocks in Hong Kong fell the most in 9 months on plans to raise trading taxes. We get more from Bloomberg Daybreak Asia anchor Brian Curtis in Hong Kong.
Raising the tax at this time with the economy struggling, well, it really did catch markets off guard. It rattled investors and led to a massive sell-off in local shares. The planned tax increase is from 0.10% to 0.13%. The bourse operator, Hong Kong Exchanges and Clearing, had its biggest slump since 2015. The tax increase came as the government announced stimulus of more than $15.5 billion. In Hong Kong, Brian Curtis, Bloomberg Daybreak.
Thank you, Brian. Back here in the U.S., there is more fallout from that engine failure on a United Airlines Boeing jet. The FAA has ordered high-tech inspections of Pratt & Whitney engines that are used on Boeing 777s. A fan blade in the United Jet's engine snapped, tore off another blade, then the front structure of the engine.
Futures this morning are on the rise, and we check the markets every 15 minutes throughout the trading day. On Bloomberg, S&P futures up 7 points, Dow futures up 28, NASDAQ futures up 39. Straight ahead, your latest local headlines, plus a check of sports. This is Bloomberg.
And it's now 5:33 on Wall Street. Let's bring in Amy Morris for a look at what's going on in New York and around the world. Amy?
Nathan, lawmakers on Capitol Hill heard from the police officials who are responsible for U.S. Capitol security during the January 6th attack. It is the first of a series of hearings to figure out what went wrong that day. Former Capitol Police Chief Stephen Sund told lawmakers the department had bad intelligence and is not prepared for an attack involving hundreds of people at once.
No civilian law enforcement agency, to include the United States Capitol Police, is trained or equipped to repel an insurrection of thousands of individuals focused on breaching a building at all costs.
And retired New York police officer Thomas Webster has turned himself in on charges that he assaulted a Washington police officer with a flagpole during that attack on Congress. He faces charges that carry a maximum penalty of 20 years in prison. The judge ordered him detained, calling him a danger to the community. Webster was once part of the security detail at City Hall and provided security for the mayor and Gracie Mansion. He retired from the force in 2011. The seven Rochester, New York police officers who were investigated by New York State Attorney General for their role in the death of an unarmed black man last March will not face criminal charges despite the death being ruled a homicide. Attorney General Letitia James expressed disappointment after she learned of the grand jury's decision.
We presented the strongest case possible, but the grand jury decided not to indict any police officer on charges related to Daniel Prude's death.
Police handcuffed Prude while he was naked and held down with a spit hood placed over his head. He had stopped breathing and was taken to a hospital. He died 7 days later. New Jersey Governor Phil Murphy says his budget proposal will focus on schools and small businesses with investments in green jobs, emerging industries, and struggling small businesses.
This budget is built to spark New Jersey's recovery by creating more good-paying jobs and getting our economy moving again, by supporting the small businesses that were hit hardest.
The record $44.8 billion budget does not include any new taxes nor any major cuts. It does include the largest infrastructure investment in state history. Global news 24 hours a day on air and on Bloomberg Quick Take, powered by more than 2,700 journalists and analysts in more than 120 countries. I'm Amy Morris. This is Bloomberg. Nathan.
Thanks, Amy. 5:35 on Wall Street. John Stashar has Bloomberg Sports Update.
All right, Nathan. Police say Tiger Woods was wearing a seatbelt yesterday and that likely saved his life. He has serious injuries to both legs, but was said to have come out of surgery awake, responsive, and recovering despite being unable to play golf due to his recent back surgery. Woods was in Los Angeles as the host of the recent tournament there and had stayed for some promotional work just after 7 a.m. L.A. time, about 30 miles south of L.A. His SUV hit the median, then the curb, then the trees. It rolled over several times. It settled several hundred feet from the road. Deputy Sheriff Carlos Gonzalez.
He didn't seem concerned of his injuries at the time, which is not uncommon in traffic collisions. Many times people tend to be in shock. It's a traumatic experience. So it's not uncommon for people to be focused on unimportant things, or even if they are in pain, they might not feel it until much later.
Police say no evidence of alcohol use. Woods once did have a DUI. Reserves named for the upcoming NBA All-Star Game. The Knicks' Julius Randle made it. Well deserved. He's been terrific all year. Scored 25 points last night. But Steph Curry, an All-Star himself, he scored 37. Golden State scored 39 in the third quarter. They beat the Knicks 114-106, spoiling the return of fans at the Garden. There were some also at Barclays as the Nets won their seventh in a row, 127-118 over Sacramento, whose losing streak reached eight. Nets scored 42 in the first quarter, then had a 14-1 run in the fourth to put it away. They continue to win without Kevin Durant. His replacement, Bruce Brown, shot 11 of 13, scored 29. So did James Harden. He had another triple-double, his sixth as a Net. Harden also named in All-Star Reserve. Devils lost to Buffalo 4-1. St. John's lost at eighth-ranked Villanova, 81-58. John Stashel with Bloomberg Sports. Thank you.
All right, John, thank you. It's 5:37 on Wall Street. Time for the Tri-State Business Report. Here's Bloomberg's Ed Corey.
A Times Square retail property owned by Kushner Companies is a step closer to foreclosure, according to loan documents. Wells Fargo, the trustee on the debt, says legal counsel has been engaged and foreclosure actions have been filed. The building at 229 West 43rd Street used to house the New York Times. Cracks are starting to form in the all-year management real estate empire. Part of its apartment development in a hipster Brooklyn neighborhood has filed for bankruptcy. Evergreen Gardens Mez, controlled by All Year, sought Chapter 11 protection Monday in the Southern District of New York. Well, the crypto exchange Bitfinex reached a settlement with New York Attorney General Letitia James over allegations that it hid the loss of commingled client and corporate funds and lied about reserves. The officials who control Bitfinex and the affiliated stablecoin Tether agreed to pay $18.5 million. That's your Bloomberg Tri-State Business Report. I'm Ed Corey.
All right, Ed, thanks. It's 5:38 on Wall Street. Bloomberg Radio is on the air from San Francisco to New York, London to Hong Kong. Let's check in with our global news team for some of the top stories heard on our 300 affiliate radio stations around the world.
I'm Courtney Donahoe on KTRH in Houston. Texas drillers bring back 80% of crude production after the deep freeze.
I'm Gina Cervetti, and for WCCO in Minneapolis, I'm talking about Best Buy planning to expand its test of smaller store formats.
I'm Caroline Hepcom, Bloomberg DAB Digital Radio in London. We are reporting on the £700 million of extra funding pledged by government to help school pupils catch up on lost learning.
I'm Ed Corey on WTAM in Cleveland. I'm reporting university hospitals will be one of the first sites in the nation for a COVID-19 clinical trial.
And those are some of the stories our 2,700 Bloomberg journalists and analysts are working on this morning around the world. Another story we're watching centers on GameStop, the video game retailer whose shares soared and then collapsed in a trading frenzy this year. Now the company says its chief financial officer, Jim Bell, is resigning next month. We get the story from Bloomberg's Charlie Pellett.
The company says it is seeking a successor and will ask its chief accounting officer to step in if the post isn't filled by Bell's March 26 exit. He has held the post since June of 2019. The Grapevine, Texas-based retailer is undertaking a strategic review, largely the result of pressure from board member Ryan Cohen, who bought about 13% of the shares and became the company's largest individual investor. The former head of pet supply provider Chewy has pushed GameStop to become a more direct competitor to Amazon. He won three seats on the company's board earlier this year. Charlie Pellett, Bloomberg Daybreak.
Thanks, Charlie. Other stories we're watching. Shares of Square down almost 5%. The financial payments company reported fourth quarter revenue that missed analyst estimates. It also further pledged its commitment to Bitcoin by purchasing $170 million of the cryptocurrency. Speaking of, Bitcoin rallied back over 51,000 yesterday following a tough week. Sank to 45,000 yesterday, reviving doubts about the durability of a five-fold rally in the cryptocurrency over the last year. And checking Bitcoin now, it's at $50,450. This is Bloomberg. Bloomberg Daybreak brought to you by Land Rover. Introducing the 2020 Land Rover Defender, Motor Trend's 2021 SUV of the year. Put the Defender's capabilities to the test at your local Land Rover retailer. Land Rover, above and beyond.
Markets, headlines, and breaking news 24 hours a day at Bloomberg.com, the Bloomberg Business App, and at Bloomberg Quick Take. This is a Bloomberg Business Flash.
And good morning. I'm Karen Moscow. U.S. stock index futures are edging higher, treasuries dropping as investors take confidence from the Federal Reserve's vow to support economic growth. We check the markets every 15 minutes throughout the trading day on Bloomberg. S&P futures up 6 points, Dow futures up 25, NASDAQ futures up 32, the DAX in Germany's up 0.9%. 10-year treasury down 5/32, yield 1.35%, yield on the 2-year 0.11%. NYMEX crude oil is up 0.4%, up 26 cents at $61.93 a barrel. COMEX gold is higher as well. Higher a little changed, up less than 0.1%, up $1.20 at $18.07.10 an ounce. The euro 1.2155 against the dollar, British pound 1.4147, and the yen 105.78. And that's a Bloomberg Business Flash. Now here's Amy Morris with more on what's going on around the world. Amy.
Karen, Senate Budget Committee Chairman Bernie Sanders says he expects a key Senate official to rule today on whether a $15 minimum wage increase can be included in the COVID-19 relief bill. Democrats are hopeful they can get Republican support for a new infrastructure bill that will likely direct billions of dollars in spending to fund research and key technology. The chair of Texas's power grid operator and four other board members have resigned in the wake of the energy crisis crippling that state's electrical system. And in sports, before fans for the first time this year, the Knicks fall to Golden State while the Nets beat Sacramento. The Wizards and Celtics lose, and on the ice, the Devils and Caps lose. Global news 24 hours a day on air and on Bloomberg. Quick Take, powered by more than 2,700 journalists and analysts in more than 120 countries. I'm Amy Morris. This is Bloomberg. Nathan.
Okay, Amy, thanks. It's coming up on 5:49 on Wall Street, live from the Bloomberg Interactive Brokers Studios. This is Bloomberg Daybreak as we await day two of testimony from Federal Reserve Chairman Jerome Powell. The chairman is signaling that he's nowhere close to pulling back support for the economy. Today, he takes that message from the Senate Banking Committee to the House Financial Services Committee later this morning. For more, we're joined by Mark Vintner, senior economist at Wells Fargo Securities. Mark, it's great, as always, to speak with you. Chairman Powell tried to play down the expectations of inflation that we're seeing in markets. Is there more that he can do to talk down those expectations?
Well, I think he'll continue to do it. I think that what he sees ahead of us is that a year ago when we went into the pandemic, inflation plunged. And so the year-to-year comparisons are going to pop in the next couple of months. We're also seeing some supply bottlenecks, which are forcing up prices. And he's trying to make the case repeatedly that the inflationary pressures that we're likely to see over the next few months are very short-term oriented. They're very transitory. It's a word that we're going to hear over and over and over again this year. The real test, though, is going to be what happens with the dollar and what happens later this year and in 2022. If inflation does move meaningfully above 2%, what does the Fed do then? He's very fond of saying that the Fed knows how to deal with a persistent and troubling inflation, but what they don't tend to add is that usually involves putting the economy through the wringer and throwing us into a deep recession.
Well, do you think those inflation expectations will continue to be transitory, as Powell likes to say, if we do get this $1.9 trillion stimulus push through, as it looks as though we very well could with Democratic support?
Well, I think that we're not going to know for some time, but I'm a little concerned. Larry Summers is a little concerned. I mean, really, across the spectrum, you've got a lot of concerns because this is a whole lot of stimulus to throw at the economy at a time that it is already accelerating. And so the question is it too much? And did we overdo it on the fiscal side and keep the interest rates too low for too long and keep buying bonds for too long? Monetary policy works with a long and variable lag. If inflation does accelerate, you can't shut it down immediately. It takes time to win it back. It took us three decades to bring inflation back down from where it was in the late 70s. And so I know that we know how to do it. I know that the Fed knows how to do it, but it is not a simple procedure.
Of course, the argument Powell's been making is that all this support is needed to support the labor market, and any talk of inflation comes to wage support. Where do you see that going? Are you seeing wage pickup anytime soon?
We are seeing wages pick up, and the labor market I don't want to say it's two-tiered. It's multi-tiered. I mean, there are labor shortages for many blue-collar occupations. A lot of goods are sitting on the docks of ports because they don't have any truck chassis. They don't have any truck drivers to get the goods to market. We've got manufacturers that are offering bonuses in order to attract workers back. Utah has already replaced all of the jobs that were lost during the recession, so employment is back above where it was pre-pandemic. Georgia is at 82%. And much of the jobs that are missing from where we were prior to the pandemic are at restaurants. They're in the leisure and hospitality industry. They're in tourist attractions and things that really aren't going to come back until we get past COVID.
Yeah.
The stimulus will help treat the symptoms of those folks that are unemployed. It'll help them make their day-to-day living a little bit easier. But we're already seeing wage pressures, and so my concern is, and the Fed is in a hard place because while we're concerned that this may be too much stimulus at just the time where the economy is improving, we could get a setback, and it takes a while for stimulus to work its magic too. So,
yeah. You
know, the safe play is for the Fed to hold its course right now, and that's what they're going to do anyway. So they're going to keep interest rates low for the foreseeable future.
All right, as we look ahead to Chairman Powell's testimony later this morning. Mark Vitner, Senior Economist at Wells Fargo Securities, thank you again for being with us this morning. Really appreciate it. Karen?
All right, Nathan, thank you. It is 5:53 on Wall Street. It's time for the Bloomberg Law Report brought to you by American Arbitration Association. Business disputes are inevitable. Resolve faster with the American Arbitration Association, the global leader in alternative dispute resolution for over 90 years. More at ADR.org. Now, a legal story we're watching this morning. The Supreme Court has rejected a series of appeals by former President Trump over his tax records and false claims of election fraud. Justice has cleared the way for Trump's taxes to be handed over to the Manhattan DA investigating him and rejected all the appeals that attempted to overturn the presidential election results in five states. For more, June Grosso speaks to Bloomberg Supreme Court reporter Greg Storr.
Trump lost on the taxes. He and his allies also lost on 8 appeals related to efforts to overturn the election.
Some of these were expected and some of these maybe weren't. The ones that were expected were the most consequential ones in terms of had the court actually taken them up. These were the cases that claimed that Joe Biden's election was procured by fraud, should be overturned. The court had already indicated, both by not expediting those cases and by refusing to grant emergency relief, that it wasn't especially interested in taking them up. So it was really a formality in terms of those cases. There were two other appeals actually stemming from the same case that looked like it had a very good chance of being taken. These are appeals out of Pennsylvania filed by Republicans of the Pennsylvania Supreme Court ruling that granted a 3-day extension of time for absentee ballots to be received in that state and to count. And the Supreme Court refused to block that ruling before the election, but there was still a chance they were going to take it up and that could affect future presidential elections. Instead, the court, after several weeks of deliberation, decided not to take the case. 3 conservative justices say they would have granted it, but you need 4 for the court to take the case.
That was interesting because the 3 conservative justices, Clarence Thomas, Samuel Alito, and Neil Gorsuch, were unable to get a 4th vote. So that means that the 2 newest justices appointed by Trump wouldn't vote to take the case.
That's right, and it is fascinating. Kavanaugh had previously signaled that he disagreed with that Pennsylvania Supreme Court decision. The argument is basically that the Constitution says that the state legislature gets to set the rules for presidential elections and that a state Supreme Court doesn't have the power to overturn what was pretty explicit in the state code. And back when we had a shorthanded Supreme Court, Brett Kavanaugh had cast a vote to stay that lower court decision. But at the time, there were only 8 justices, and the court split 4-4 and left the decision in force. But Kavanaugh did not vote to grant this case after the fact. And it may be, I'm just speculating here, that the case was now moot and the court shouldn't take it up now. Amy Coney Barrett, we really don't know anything, but it is certainly very interesting that she did not join her conservative colleagues in agreeing to take it up. This is an issue that has cropped up in a lot of situations, and conservatives have been arguing for a couple decades that state courts don't have this power to override a state legislature. So it is a missed chance for a lot of conservatives.
And that's Bloomberg Supreme Court reporter Greg Storr speaking with June Grasso. Catch more of that interview plus analysis of the latest legal news by subscribing to the Bloomberg Law Podcast or downloading the show at Bloomberg.com/podcast. And attorneys can find exceptional legal research and business development tools at BloombergLaw.com. Right now, S&P futures are up about 6 points. Dow futures up 21. NASDAQ futures up 26. The DAX in Germany is up 0.9%. CAC in Paris up 0.2%. And the FTSE 100 is lower, down about 0.2%. 10-year Treasury down 7/32, yield 1.36%. And the yield on the 2-year, 0.11%. NYMEX crude oil is up 0.5% or 32 cents at $61.99 a barrel. And COMEX gold that'll change at $18.06.10 an ounce. Our top stories are straight ahead as Bloomberg Daybreak continues. This is Bloomberg.